We believe in practicing this stuff we preach. And today I'm going to kind of line you out three words to hang this sermon on. And I want you to know that this thing's for real. People have been getting saved today. People's lives have been made new today. There's an energy in here today. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. It can't be manufactured by a human being. There's some realities. God wants you to get better. God wants you to know that He loves you deeply. And that He'll never change His mind about that being in motion. That God will constantly change your life in the name of Jesus. Jesus is for real. And so, I'm going to give you three words. The first one is this. Respect. Respect. Okay? We're going to talk about respect, response, reward. You got it? Can you deal with those three R words? Respect, what? Response, and what else? Reward, okay? There's a respect to the faith. There's a respect that Jesus Christ is going to do something great, okay? I want you to remind everybody in here, if you'll just look to some human being and go, we're not in this alone. Just tell them, make that confession, will you? Come on. Please work with folks. All right. We're not in this alone. And here's the reason I get you to speak up. I get you to speak up because here's what I want you to know. Coming to church and about hearing some talking head spit out some truth. And what does that do? That doesn't do any good. But this stuff's got to get into us and begin to reshape who we are, okay? And the reason I'm hyped up today is this reason. God is changing people's lives. And I want you to know, I got to deal with the reality. Y'all know me, I just lay it on the line. I'm straightforward. This is real. In fact, my brother Jason's here with me. He and I work a lot together. Jason, we've worked too much the last 3 weeks together. We've had about 8 or 9 funerals. And they're all of them. Under 50. Okay, so here's where, you know, when I see Robbie Tom come to know Christ, guess what I say? Praise be to the name of Jesus. You know, we had a guy in his 70s 2 weeks ago being baptized. Guess what I say? Praise God in the name of Jesus. Now, if you get in your 70s or 80s, guys, y'all cutting it close to the line. You know what I mean? Ease up a little bit, all right? But you know, I've had that happen. I baptized a guy. Mr. Cox, love to do, man. Great old guy. Great Kentucky man. I mean, good man, Jack. You know, he's a good man. But guess what? Baptizing 14 months later, I preached his funeral. Okay, let's get into this. Let's get into this life. First thing I want you to know that there's a respect to God. And there's a respect to those who work hard among you in the faith. Those who work. Those who work hard among you in community. Now, I want you to notice this. Young people, are you ready? I'm fixing to blow your all's world because I'm going to fry everything they've been trying to teach you. Just because you have a title doesn't mean you'll have the respect. Okay, and look, this is unscriptural. All right? The respect comes from the work. Look what he says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to finish it up today. Verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you. Work hard among you. Not just have a title, but they work hard among you. You know they're getting it done. You know they're getting it done. They're working hard among you. Now, what do they want? Let's look. Who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. I want to tell you what that means. The job of the pastors of this church, the best illustration I can give you of pastoring is coaching. Okay? What does a good coach want? No matter what sport you're a part of, what does a coach want to do? Okay? To win. What must you do? Okay, you got to work. I said, is that right? What else? You got to get your players to be the best possible players that they can be. That's the ultimate goal, right? Because you can't be better than you are. Does that make sense? But you can be as good as you are. Does that make sense? So a coach admonishes to bring out the best skills of that athlete, he or she, whatever she carries with her. The job of a pastor is for us to encourage and bring out of the church, the people that are in the church, the people that gather in community, to bring out of them what? To bring out of them the best possible Jesus giftedness that is available to that church. To admonish one another is to make sure that everybody gets better. Amen? Okay, if you believe that, look at your neighbor and say, you're going to get better. Oh, that gets real. Here's what a good leader does. A good leader wants everybody around them to be successful. An individual that knows nothing about leadership shares their opinion only. Teach y'all how to discern. If you listen to somebody and all they can talk about is themselves, that's because they have no leadership ability. A true leader wants you to know who you can be, not who they are. Jesus talked more about your possibilities than he did about his reality. Go read the book. This is for you. Jesus is a true leader. He's the ultimate leader. So guess what? You got to respect those that work hard among you and respect those who work. You think work isn't important. I know some of y'all look at me when I haul off on this work ethic issue and you go like this. Well, that's just airs hauling off. Well, welcome to Scripture today. I just want y'all to know that I actually read this book. I know some of y'all read the parts that you like or line up with your theological system. Y'all ought to read it all. And here's what I love about the book. It's very practical. The reason you don't hear sermons on texts like this is because they're very clear and understandable. See, most of the church, pastors like to rattle around about things they'll never know, and they don't preach the things that they do know. This is pretty straightforward. I like it. It's plain spoken. People working with you, working around you, working near you, respect them. Respect the work they do. Man, I respect the work. Michael, I respect the work on that saxophone, man. You blessed the socks off a lot of... How many of y'all like that sax today? I do. Hey, Michael, I put you up against Kenny G any day. You know, Kenny G over there. You, Michael over here, let me show you how it's done with the Lord. A little touch of ghost, a little touch of spirit on it. Holy Spirit. Make sense? Praise, honor, respect those who work what? Hard among who? You. Us. You. Peoples. Got it? Look what he says. He goes on. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Not their position. Their what? Work. You got somebody working for your betterment? Honor them. Honor them for their work. Live in peace with each other. Live in peace with each other. How important is that to God? That's a respect. Live in what? Peace, man. Don't be tearing each other apart. Don't be busting on each other all the time. Don't be dissing on each other all the time. Find some way to live in peace. How many of y'all understand that with some people, peace is impossible? Because they don't desire what? But we're talking about people who believe in Jesus. What are we supposed to find? Peace. Which is, so guess what? Here's what you ought to be in your personal relationships. How do we find a peaceful solution to our disagreement? Now, church, I really want to challenge us on this. You ready? The church has got to cease busting on each other. One of the greatest harms to our witness is we're always dogging each other. Now, Hillview, if you're going to stay at Hillview, guess what? This is going to go on at Hillview from now until Jesus comes. People come, people go. That's life. You know what we believe? Everybody's a part of the kingdom of God. Y'all understand the difference? I could care less what label is on your spirituality. You know, I care less if you're a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, a non-denomination that is a denomination. I could care less if you call yourself liberal or conservative, because watch this, none of those labels are permanent. Ponder that for a minute. Are any of those things permanent? No, when you're dead, they're what? So those are all temporary understandings. Let's put them in the category, shoop, boom, drag them over here, lock them down over here. Those are temporary categories of explanation. And then there's reality. Jesus says, Jesus makes us, Jesus puts us together, and he encourages us, live in peace. Live in peace. Live in what? Peace. I remember when people started going to other churches from Hillview, we talked about how we really believed that we were a part of the kingdom of God. And then people would go and serve in other churches. You know, Hillview, I'm really excited. We got a lot of people that are serving, leading music, doing mission work, showing folk how to do stuff all over the state. They started here in this church. They've ended up in a lot of other congregations. When people started leaving, they go, what's our problem? I said, Jesus. He tends to bring people in, build people up, and send people out so other people can be blessed. That seems to be God's rhythm. Amen? Save them, build them, send them. Isn't that God's rhythm?
Yeah.
And so be at peace. God may be doing something that you can't see at the moment. Amen? Parents, breathe that in. If you have an adolescent child, I promise you, God is doing something you can't see at the moment. Let God do His work. Amen. Let God do His work. And He goes on. He tells us this, live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, and we warn those. Now watch. We warn those who are idle. Now I just want to tell you, the Bible doesn't have a lot of good things to say about people who make a willful decision to do nothing. I mean, I just want you to know that. Now, in our culture, what we're trying to do, well, let me show you what we're unwilling to do. But we better be doing it in the church. You ready? We're called to do this. Encourage the timid. I want you to be encouraged. I simply want you to do what you heard in the baptistry. Speak up and don't be ashamed of being a believer. Don't be obnoxious, but don't be timid. Does that make sense? You don't have to carry a Jesus billboard. I'm just talking about when somebody asks you about your faith, don't cower down. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe He's the way to heaven. And I believe that Jesus Christ changes people's lives. Now, if that just totally terrifies some secular humanist, well, may they be terrified. That's what I believe. And I have a right to believe that, and you have a right to believe that. And I don't have to be timid about that. You know what? New Agers aren't timid. God knows Hollywood's not timid with all their trash. God knows folks that are in blatant disobedience to God are fervently proclaiming that their wrong way is the way. You know, one reason it's so loud is because we're so timid. Don't fight with people. Don't be obnoxious with people. But you know what? Jesus never backed down from the devil. He never backed down from the devil. I'm talking about live your life in confidence that what Jesus is doing in your life is for real. Does that make sense? So you know, just come on. Come on. Stand for the things of God. He said, well, Pastor Harris, do I have to stand it? You know what I found? Just stand for the things of God and you don't have to scream about all the things that God's against. We tend to scream about particular sin instead of dealing with the big issue. Here's what I want you to know. Until your sin is forgiven, you'll never get out of your sins. You got to deal with the big issue. I've sinned against God. Not against man, not against my mama, not against my daddy, against God. Now, once I let Jesus reckon with that issue, then I can deal with what I call lateral issues of human existence. Then I can live in peace. Be careful if you're idle. Be encouraged to move on. Timid. Look what he said. Help the weak. I want you to know, church, we're supposed to help the weak. I want you to hear this right now out of the Bible from the Lord Jesus Christ. Helping the weak is not keeping them weak. That is not help. That is hell. To take a weak person and so subsidize them that they have to stay weak is an absolute form of slavery. That's what that is. We're not helping them. We're enabling their inability. That is totally contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, where you're weak, I'll be strong. Where you can't, I'll show you you can. Where you're timid, I'll make you bold. Where you're held captive, I'll release you. I'm here to help you live, not hold you weak. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I'd rather have that than be subsidized in my weakness. In recovery language, we call it this. I mean, it don't take long to see that I made an A on my addiction test. Okay, watch this. In recovery, here's what we call, we use this language, an enabler. How many of you always had an enabler? But we all got an enabler. It's called the devil. That's really the enabler. And here's what he tells you. Go ahead and kill yourself. Go ahead and believe that. Go ahead and hold to things that aren't true to me. Why? As long as you do, you'll be conned. Here's the only strength the devil has. To con you to your dead. Because he knows then there's a final decision that can't be reversed. He cons us in many little subtle ways. Like continue on. That'll be all right. Everybody's doing it. That'll be okay. Don't worry about that. That's not a big deal. It's really not sin. How many of y'all been conned by that one? That's really not sin. That really won't bother you. Well, surely God wouldn't send all those people to hell. He doesn't. He doesn't send anybody to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. See, that's the first lie you get into. God draws us to grace, and you got a shot. God provided a way. Now, are you going to step into the way, or are you going to do what? Back out and say, no, I'm going to do it my way. There's really the challenge. Now, how many of y'all have done it your way long enough, and you got sick and tired of doing it your way long enough? That's where you get crazy. You're like, God, my way's not working. And God steps in and says, you know what? No problem. No problem, girl. No problem, guy. I help the weak. And what does God do? Where we're weak, He makes us strong. Thank God. Amen. How many of y'all can resist stuff now that used to be irresistible? That's the power of God. Now, I didn't say it wouldn't break you out in the sweats. I didn't say you wouldn't go, oh, man, if I just did that one more time, I know. How many of y'all have done it one more time and it was just like it was last time? There you go. And God says, no, I want to give you a better life. This is cool stuff. So, you know what? That's the respect we need to have. Help folks that are weak. Now, look, make sure that you're patient with everybody. Be patient with everybody. Note this. Somebody's getting better around you. Be patient. Be patient. Guys, remind your parents to be what? Patient. Elizabeth and I sometimes will hear something. I'll go, honey, they're young. Don't you remember? I believed that same stuff at one time. Why? I was young and on paper it worked out. At the university it sounded so cool. In the reality of life it fell apart. And you know what stupid is? This is what stupid is. When reality gives you the truth to refuse its truth, that's a stupid move. It's reality. Reality's not always a joyful experience. Amen? Yeah. Look at here. He goes on. These are the ways we conduct ourselves as believers. Be kind to each other and to everyone else. We need to be kind. Who do we need to be kind to? What is it saying? What about people that are trapped in deep and crazy sin? Now, note this. It didn't say buy into them. It didn't say buy into them. It said what? Be kind to them. Church needs to be kind, man. This ought to be the kindest place in the world. And I just want you to know, if you're in here today and it's your first time in church, and man, church can be a really scary place. I want you to understand that. We're aware of that. We hope this place isn't real scary. We hope it's a real blessing to you. We hope that when you come here, we want you to know that we are a kind people. And if you're a messed up sinner, don't feel real guilty about that and all crazy about that, because you're in a room full of messed up sinners. And we have found Jesus Christ to put our lives back together. Nobody at Hillview is perfect, especially the pastoral staff. And what happens with the pastors, we're the worst of all sinners. So God put us at church 7 days a week. See, He can trust you all to miss a few days. And that's the way it goes. So He put us here 7 days a week because He knew we were worse than any of them. He said, I'm going to keep you right up here close. Hey, any of y'all have to sit close to the teacher when you went to class? Anybody? Some of y'all are lying. You were sitting right on the other side of me. You're lying. Man, I sat right to the teacher. I thought I was a beloved child. Chase, I never would get it when we went on choir tour. Believe it or not, I went on choir tour. Now, I didn't sing, but I carried sound equipment. I was 14 years old, and I thought I was real special because the choir director wanted me to sit up front with him. You know what that was for? Because he knew if I sat anywhere on the bus, there would be trouble. So he sat me right beside him. Well, that's what God did with us. He sat us right beside him. You got to be real close. Some of y'all get, you know, God can trust you with more time. Look at here. Look at here. Then there's a response. This ought to be our response to grace. Be joyful always. Guys, we got some tough stuff today. We got to do a funeral here in just a minute. Beautiful girl, Angela Kinder, 47 years old. She got killed doing what she loved to do. She was out four-wheeling. Man, had a big time just, you know, living life, doing crazy things. And she wasn't driving crazy, anything like that. Accident. Boom. Her life's over. That could happen to any one of us at any moment. How many understand that's true? I don't say that to scare you. I say that because that's what? It's reality. And until we live, this is the day the Lord has made, we will never understand the kingdom of God. Here's what I want you to know. Always be kind to each other, because you never know when that's your last word. I mean, you really don't, man. We take a lot of things for granted, you know. We yell and scream at somebody. And how many of y'all have ever done that? other than me. How many of y'all have ever done that? Man, I got to tell y'all, I've gotten in a fight before with Elizabeth in the morning. First thing, stormed out of the house. Then about 10 o'clock, I get to feeling guilty. You know, it's hard to prepare a sermon knowing that you're the biggest sinner in the church. So I have to call her and say, honey, I'm sorry I acted like an idiot. She says, I know. And I said, I'm not asking for confirmation. I'm asking for forgiveness. And then we got to work these things out. Be joyful always. Find what God is saying to you in all circumstances. Now, listen, guys, I love you guys. I preach to you all the time because I love you guys. I want you to hear this. I want you to get it straight truth, okay? No matter what you do in life, you cannot avoid pain. I want you to hear that because I know they've lollipopped and gun-dropped your all's whole culture, telling you that if you have a moment of pain or discomfort somewhere that's unusual and you need to go correct that immediately, a lot of times that's God teaching you. And I know the reason you don't know pain is because we put you in time out instead of wore your hiney out when you were little so that you could grab a hold of this concept at age 2. Yeah, makes sense? Be joyful always. God is teaching us even in painful moments. Guys, am I not telling them the truth? You're going to have some painful moments. Why do preachers stand up here and lie and say, well, if you follow Jesus, it's just going to be a joyous bliss all the time. Well, I'd like to meet their Jesus because I've had some moments that weren't joyous blitz, but I found joy in them. You know what you got to do to get orange juice? Squeeze an orange. I bet the orange don't like it. I bet if the orange could talk to me, why are you smashing my guts out? Why are you squeezing me? To bring out of you your best. Doesn't God do that sometimes to us? Man, he squeezes us a little bit to do what? Get it out. Be joyful always. Pray continually. It doesn't say pray occasionally. It doesn't just say have prayer group. It says do it all. Pray what? Continually. Pray continually. There's two times you'll start praying continually in your life. First is when you get married. You pray all the time. Marriage leads to prayer. I ain't lying to you. Am I not telling the truth? Yeah. Lauren, you pray more than you did back in May? Absolutely. No, that's good stuff. And then the second time you have an accelerated prayer life, it's when God gives you a child. And then you ramp up your prayer life when that child hits adolescence. Because what comes back to you as a parent? You know who the strictest parents are? The ones that raise the most Cain in high school. Because they know what that kid's fixing to do. And they just go crazy. I'm like, let God squeeze the orange, he'll bring it out. Amen. Pray continually. And then he gives us this deal. He said, listen. He said, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're going to concentrate in November on giving thanks. It's going to be really cool. I hope every one of you will be at church throughout the Sundays in November. This is something we've prayed about, man. God's been speaking to us for a long time because we really believe we don't know how to give thanks. I'm going to throw something at you. I don't know. I just wonder if these economic difficult times aren't allowed by God because we've never been thankful for what we ever had. I see people always praying to God when they're without, but I never hear them giving thanks when they're with. I hear them singing, you know, help me, Lord. They go country when they're low. Huh? Help me, Lord. But when they up in high times and things are going well, you know what I'm talking about. The money's flowing, all going our way, we think. Then they're singing, I did it my way. Or, I'm going to get mine. That's right, Leonard. They put a little beat to it. I'm going to get what? Boy, that is, I could preach a sermon on that right there. That's the story of the way we want to do life. I'm going to get mine. Well, here's the good news of the gospel. He's willing to give you his. He's willing to give you His. Check this out. Be prayerful. Be thankful. And then He said, here's your reward. He tells us in verse 19, I don't want to avoid this. I just want you to test what you hear. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Test it. Does it measure up? Guys, I want you to test every credit card that comes in your mailbox. Then you'll throw it away. Test it by not using it. Read the small print first. You know the one that says 0% interest lasts for 2 days and then we go to 135%. Read that line, okay? Test it. See if it holds. And if it holds to the value of Christ, hold on to it. And if it's evil, what? Avoid it. Why? Here's God's desire for you. Man, this is pretty cool, isn't it? This is what's in you, girl. Check this out. God's going to do this. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. How far is God going to go with us? Well, give me the direction. You had two of them there. Through and. How many of y'all have ever had a double through and through? That means He's going to get what you think is your problem, and then He's going to come back and get what really is your problem. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Through and through. He's going to hit all areas of your life. Look at here. He tells us in the Scripture, I'm going to sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. That means, I got you, says Jesus. I love you, says Jesus. And I'm going to do it, says Jesus. Now, how do I know these things are possible? You ready? Who is going to make you fit for heaven is not you. Let me run that by you one more time. That's kind of quick. Who makes you fit for heaven is not who? You. It is Jesus. Well, how you know? Read the last part of this verse. The one. Okay, I need to run a test right here. This is kind of like a test of the emergency broadcast system. It's just a test to the church. Because we've been confused about this a little bit here lately. Who is the one? Okay, I need that with a little more authority, okay? The one.
Jesus.
Is there another one?
No.
Is Oprah the one?
No.
Thank you. Now, if you want a number one selling book, she is. But Oprah can't save your soul. I can't save your soul. Jamie, you can play every kind of instrument God has made, but you can't what? Can't save a soul? Can he? No. Stuart, you can play the drums. Can you save a soul? You can help people in Litchfield, but can you save a soul? Can you feed the hungry? But can you save a soul? Now you got it. Jerry Pitcock, I mean, you enforce the laws of the Commonwealth of the state of Kentucky. Could you save a soul? No. I mean, people can be very entertaining, but can they save a soul? Darren, you sold us all cell phones, but could you save a soul? You can help us hear souls, but not save them. Make sense? John Paul, you can help us talk better, reason better, think better, but teach us better. But can you save a soul? No, either. Can you buy a soul? Led Zeppelin lied. You cannot buy a stairway to what? Heaven. You can't do it. Led Zeppelin, he was on drugs. Led did some dope. He's helping y'all. He's tripping one day. She's buying a stairway to heaven. Have y'all seen these people?
Yeah.
I saw the day that like Mick Jagger's is 92, something like that. I mean, what is crazy. No, he's almost 70. He's almost 70. He looks 500, but he's 70. It's like, that's not life. I'm telling you. Poor Mick. I wish he could have heard a sermon. Somebody send Mick a sermon. I mean, just think, he's been going 40 years. He can't get no satisfaction. And I know the guy that could satisfy him. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. It's crazy. Here it is, Jesus. Look, watch this. Would Jesus save Mick? Hell yeah. Jesus wants to save Mick. Can you imagine Jesus talking to Mick? Hey, Mick, yeah. Hey, Mick, I love you. Yeah. Make realize he's a sinner and say, Lord, you know what I've sinned? And guess what? Jesus has come in his life and he forgave him and he put him in order and he loved him and he gave him joy and give him peace and he would heal him completely and he'd take him on to heaven one day, bless him through and through. You know why? The one, it's Jesus. And there's only one. And here's going to be the greatest struggle of all your life. Please catch this. There will always be another one. Jerry, am I telling the truth? The devil has only got one power. Chuck, write this down. There'll always be another one. Whatever that one is for you. There'll be one that wants to step in and get ahead of Jesus. And if you let Jesus be the one, then watch this. Everyone else will work out. When Jesus is the one, everyone else will what? Work out. Did y'all get that? That's serious on dating. Girls, you get that serious dating deal right there. When Jesus is the one, which one? Come on, girls. The one. Then you won't buy all these slick guidelines we give y'all. I gave them to Elizabeth. I told her I was good. Lied. I said, honey, I'll always be there for you. There's a joke. As long as the golf course is not open and the lake ain't busy and my buddies don't want to do something, I'll be there, girl. You know, if I could sing out of saying, I'll be there. Elizabeth said, I got tired of you not being there. I thought I married you for you to hang around. I said, that's a good point. You know what happened? I let another one get in the way of the one. So that's where God's trying to line us up today. I'm finished. I don't know if we've gone late or not. I know that we're in time. Okay? We're in this time to meet Jesus. Is that fair enough? Yeah. Is that fair enough? So you're here today because God really wants to do something in your life. You didn't show up today to get extra points for coming to church. If you did, I'm sorry. There are no extra points. You can go to hell from the church. I mean, and that's really, listen, don't go to hell from the church. That's really gross. It'd be better to go to hell from the lake. At least that's an entertaining road to hell. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, come on, you gotta, listen, I'm a part of the church because I know Jesus wants to change people's lives. It's that simple. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, we want to give you an opportunity to do that today because everything I said today doesn't work unless you get hooked up with the one. Make sense? How many of y'all go ahead and know Jesus is willing to save you? It probably helped you out. Once you knew he's willing to take Mick, most of you qualified in a room, right? You went, I ain't done what Mick's done. Thought about it, but I never did it. You see what I'm saying? That's what you got to... God loves us. So how many of y'all have come to this point? I know I've sinned. Okay, good. You're available for grace now. Now, how many of y'all still conning yourself and going like this? Well, I tell you what, I'm better than so-and-so. Well, they're going to hell. So what do you think there's like? Advanced hell, junior hell? You think there's like different size suites down there? You know, I got the presidential suite in hell. Well, gosh, aren't you brilliant? Yeah, my buddy got a junior suite in hell. What do you think about that? Where are you located? You know, a resort in Duluth, Minnesota is still a bad deal. How many of y'all want to take a Christmas vacation at Lake Michigan and go lay on the beach? The only reason you'd want to do that is you're from Michigan. That's the only reason. These people ice fish. They need Jesus. You know, anytime you got to de-ice your fishing reel, God's trying to tell you, go to the house. Crazy. But you know what? God wants you in heaven, and His name is Jesus, and He'll get you there, and He's the what? He's the one. All right? I know some of y'all think Ronald Reagan was the one. He ain't the one. He's dead. You know? Thank you. Now, here's what we have to do. Anybody that wants to be the one, they must take the one test. So I think we just give them the one test. So if you think you're Jesus, okay, here's what we're going to do. On Friday afternoon, we're going to crucify you. If you can get back up on Sunday morning, you're the one. I bet the ones that think they're the one won't take the one test. Because at that test, what do they know? There's only... What if we did that to all of our elected officials that think they got it all figured out? How many of them would be crucified for you? Let me help you. I can answer this emphatically. None. Pastors, reckon we'd step on this cross for this congregation? I mean, we might crawl up. Eric, I'd even stretch out as long as they didn't bring nails. Because sometimes we'll go a little bit for each other, but we won't go as far as Jesus did. He stretched his arms out, took the nails, died on that cross so that you and I could be forgiven. And 3 days later, what happened to him? You know why he did that? Anybody know? Does anybody know? This sounds like the Matrix sermon. He's the one. Like when he came out of the tomb, if somebody had shot bullets at him, Jesus would have gone. Because you know what he would really be saying? Death is done. God has won. Salvation is here. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So if you need to be saved today, let me rephrase it. You do need to be saved today if you haven't been saved today. Jesus would love to save you. And if he's drawing you to that moment, hey, answer it today, okay? All right? Is that cool? Yeah? All right. Well, let's stand together. We're going to have an altar call. If you haven't been baptized yet and you want to line up a time to be baptized, you've received Christ sometime during the week and you want to line that up, our pastors are up here to talk to. If you want to talk about joining the church, hey, I got to tell you one thing before altar call, and I'm going to put this in the altar. If you've always wondered what Hillview Heights Church is going to be like, Elizabeth is leading a seminar tonight, my wife. And she's going to help me with this, what is Hillview? We will be in this room right here, the worship center, because everybody knows how to get there, okay? We'd love to have about 200 folks that really want to know how to get involved in Hillview. This is exactly 45 minutes. And only those of you who've been at Lake Church, only the Lake Church crowd here knows that I can actually do something in 45 minutes. Only the Lake Church people know that, okay? But if you find some of them and ask them if it's possible, it is. We'll meet at 6 o'clock right here at this altar. We will be done at 6:45. Now, if you want to hang around and talk to pastors to midnight, that's your business. But we will be done at 6:45, okay? At 6:45, we're going to let you know what goes on here at Hillview. And we want you to come and get involved. We're going to do this once a month. So this is a good time if you want to be a member. How to become a member. Listen, you need Jesus. You need to be saved. Pray with me right now. Come on. You ready? God's going to bring folks to salvation. Lord, bring them here. Draw them with your spirit to your truth, to your reality, to your oneness of purpose. And so God, right now, I just ask whoever needs to be saved that you listen to God. You listen to Jesus. And if he's telling you that's you, ask him, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. And Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life and forgive me. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I'm telling you, he'll do it. Jesus, forgive me. Show me your love. He's the one. Let him talk to you. If you need to be baptized, come. Lisa, I want you, the clients that comes, I want to pray over you. I know we got a bad diagnosis from the doctor, but guess what? God's going to heal that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive that today. Receive it right now. He's going to heal you in the name of Jesus. Come for healing today, okay? Come and lay this stuff down to God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come, be healed, be saved, be baptized, be changed. Lay this stuff that you deal with right here on the altar and see what God does with it. Come on, church. Y'all a blessing. Come on, the altar's open. The altar's open. Come on. You're coming the right way. Come on. Come on. Come on.